I know you're hearing music right now. Don't get excited. They're not playing a song. They're just teasing you with actual art and entertainment. The suck will start in seconds. Now back to Rad Radio.
Email RAD at radradio.com from Evan.
Hi, Evan.
Did the bonus canine cam video about 20 minutes ago on Rad TV at members.radradio.com. You can always go back and watch it if you weren't able to see it as it happened. A viral video of a boat of safari-going tourists in Africa was attacked by a hippo that ran over, took a few bites out of the engine, and then ran away, which led to other hippo-related attacks and ultimately led to Kyle asking a very Kyle question, can you eat hippo?
Yeah.
And what's it taste like? And so Evan wrote in and said, I've actually been talking to my wife lately about wanting to try hippo meat. No idea how it came up.
Huh.
But I looked into it.
Random.
Oh, okay.
He says, based on his research, Africans eat them all the time. And from what I've looked into, its flavor is mild like lamb, slightly gamey like veal. Mm. And it has a firm texture like a beef sirloin. After I read that, it just made me want to try it even more.
Yeah.
Anticipating Kyle's next question, can you get hippo meat in the U.S.?
I mean, can you?
Do you want to? Is it sketchy?
Animals are largely harvested in South Africa and can be exported across the world. However, South African meats are not imported to the United States at this time. Hippopotamus meat can be shipped to Canada, though.
Eh?
So if you know someone that is in Canada, you can have it shipped to your friend, and then they can get it to you in a way, eh?
Hey, yo, I got a hoser, eh?
I know our former princess spreadsheeter, Chris, goes to Canada quite often, and he used to send us food. So if he can get his hands on some goddamn hippo meat, Kyle would like to try some, please.
He could have the hippo meat shipped to, I believe it's his in-laws, right? That live in Canada, eh? And then he could, next time he visits his in-laws, grab the hippo meat and bring it back to the States.
You have to claim it?
Yes, and how does that work with customs and all that?
Right. You pull a mule. You put it where the sun don't shine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Or you just tell them it's beef. Just lie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it anywhere on me if I got to fly. Like, there's all the federal issues. You're better off just shipping it. I mean, what lame-ass drug-sniffing dog is going to snout out your hippo meat? And Kyle's right. Change the label. Just pull the label off and put burger.
There you go. Perfect.
Or whatever on it.
I mean, that's a lot of meat.
You would think.
I mean, that could beat your family for a year. Hippos
seemingly.
Are huge.
Well, yeah, I wonder how much of it, though, is like actual meat versus blubber, because they might be mostly fat on the outside or something. God. I don't know.
And I wonder if they're like pigs, where, I mean, we all love bacon pretty so much, but you only get a small portion of bacon off a pig. I wonder if on their big bodies, the best part of them, it's also you only get a small portion of it.
Then do like we do with pigs. Roll out all that other stuff and make some hippo hot dogs.
Ooh,
there you go.
There's nothing left on the pig slaughtering floor. It all goes into hot dogs, scrapple, all those horrible meats that are combined.
Now, on the videos we saw of the hippo, they had their mouths open a lot, so you saw their tongues. Now, I'm wondering, there are such things as lengua tacos, which are the cow tongue tacos, which are really good. I'm curious to know if the hippo tongue is going to be even better.
Totally, unconfirmable, right? But in doing research during the commercial break, I did find like a chat area where people were posting about hippo meat, and somebody claimed that while on safari in Africa, they were served hippo meat, and they did put it in a taco. They didn't say if it was tongue, but they also said it was very delicious.
Nice. Oh, good to know. I can't do the tongue. I do. I know where it comes from. I'm not going to bring the show down.
Look,
but it's someone I knew that was terrible.
First of all, that loveliness aside, if you're on safari in Africa, I mean, first of all, imagine Dawn being on safari in Africa. This is a woman who won't even go to Hawaii. I'm pretty sure they're not going to tell you exactly what part of the hippo it comes from, or even can you confirm if it's hippo. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be a pain in the ass. Was it a happy hippo?
Yeah.
Was it a free-range hippo?
Listen, I am a spoiled American. These are things that do haunt me if I ever traveled abroad. What am I eating, and was it happy?
Switching gears entirely. Well, not entirely. Speaking of travel, words matter. A new survey asked Americans, what is the number one thing? So you can only pick one. Mm-hmm. The number one thing, Brando, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Now, this is where words matter. Perfect hotel.
Ooh.
Must have. Number one thing. Because this is very relative to all of us. We all travel in different ways.
I know.
Luxury, whatever. Like Embassy Suites versus Ritz-Carlton, both nice, but completely different levels. Again, they're saying perfect hotel. Mm-hmm. All right, Brandon, the number one thing the perfect hotel must have.
Good water pressure.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Almost every hotel that I've stayed at has horrible water pressure, and it's like getting dribbled on when you're in the shower.
Hmm.
And that's one of the things that I have that would be on my list is like top.
I mean, so it is like that's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yes.
That's the top thing, number one. Yes. All right, Kyle. Perfect hotel.
Perfect hotel must have comfortable sheets and bed blanket, because most of the time you get to a hotel, you're like, damn, this is a nice room. You get in the bed and it's firm and it's itchy with the sheets, and you're like, damn, it just ruins the whole experience.
Good point.
Mm. Okay, so you were including the mattress in that.
Yeah, mattress, the bed itself.
The whole thing.
The whole bed experience.
Good. Yeah. Okay. I'm simpatico with Kyle. That is my number one. And I don't care the cost of the hotel. It gets more egregious if we're paying a pretty penny and the bed is not comfortable, because you're like, what the hell did I pay for? And if we've paid not that much, I'm like, okay, well, what do I expect? But I don't care. I have slept on mattresses that are so horrible that you end up on the floor, or if there's a chair in there, or if there happens to be a couch in there, like that. Numero uno, the comfort of the bed.
My experience is that if you're paying for luxury suites, the beds are pretty damn good. I would be quite upset. I
mean, I've had one that wasn't
$1,500 a night, and the bed's not great. I'd be pretty pissed. So that doesn't even come to my mind because of the way that we travel. But oddly, you would think this would be covered. The first thing that comes to my mind is great room service.
Oh, okay.
Because the room service is so bad in so many places where you wouldn't think it would. Either the selection, the quality, the variety. It's like we're endlessly disappointed with room service.
So the room service, you're talking about like the food and the quality of the food?
Yes.
Okay, because wouldn't that go hand in hand with like the restaurant that's attached to it?
Although, but they're asking about the perfect hotel, so whatever. I mean, whatever you want to put it. I'm saying room service specifically is bring it to my room and it's excellent.
True, because not all hotels have restaurants.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but you know, COVID has ruined room service. That's what I attribute it to. Ever since COVID, there are hotels that my husband and I have gone to for years that have had we already know the beds are amazing. We know all the things about it. And one of the many things, one in particular, I'm thinking about their room service, like top notch, high quality food. They barely even do it. It's almost like a DoorDash situation, and they don't have all the same selection. Like they completely changed it for COVID and they've never gone back.
Fair enough.
And that's kind of what I've noticed a lot. Yeah. And even like nice hotels, I'm like, what the hell? The art of the room service with the food gone. I'm sure for like uber rich people, it's not, I don't know, like a super duper fancy hotel. Rob, is it the same?
No, I mean, in the sense, this has been a bitch of mine for 10 years. Long before COVID, I was like, why can't they get room service right?
Do you find a correlation with the hotel service overall with room service? Because last time I went to a hotel and I had a complaint, the room service wasn't great. They didn't give me my extra towels like I asked for. I know, minor complaint, first world problems, but still, when you ask for them, you expect them, especially if there's a hot tub in the room. But the hot tub didn't work, and so it was lukewarm, and we wanted it hot, so we go tell them about it, and they give us like a whole like, well, the bubbles still work, right? You can still use it. I'm like, well, the point of the experience is that we want it hot.
Couple notes. I haven't noticed a correlation between terrible service in general and the room service thing, but I mean, bad service is everywhere. It's awful. And thank you for pointing out, yes, this whole survey, talk about a first world problem.
Yeah.
What do you want in your perfect hotel? So we got water pressure. We got the perfect bed.
Oh, yes.
We got room service. All of these things being mentioned. Now, if none of these are the number one answer. If I told you that the only reason I brought this up was to promote Tech to You Tuesday, which is coming up at 11 a.m.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Okay. So this wasn't a tech quiz. This wasn't a tech survey. It was just as I presented it to you. The number one thing the perfect hotel must have, to Kyle's point about first word problems, the number one answer was fast Wi-Fi.
Oh, my God.
Really, America? This is where we're at?
Oh, but I got to tell you, when we have traveled with some of our nieces and nephews, that is literally the first thing they ask when we get in the hotel room. What's the Wi-Fi?
Good Lord.
What's even worse is that when the Wi-Fi works just fine, their TV setup, sometimes they'll have it so you can't plug anything in the back of the TV, like a USB, so right. You have a Fire Stick or you want to plug your laptop in to watch something that's not the hotel TV.
Even more egregious, the TV is so outdated, you can't just cast something to it.
It's big, but it's old.
Get me to the menu so I can connect my phone to it so I can play my Hulu, please.
God. And you better have enough inputs, outputs, all the things. No, you can't just have plugs now. You have to have everything you need for the phones, but not just one on one side of the bed. It's got to be on both sides of the bed. It's got to be the area where maybe if there's a desk, buy a couch if there's a couch. All of that.
You got rough.
Yeah, to the point of how spoiled we are. Fast Wi-Fi was first, and Brandon alluded to it. Third on the list that a perfect hotel has to have is a smart TV. Not just a big TV, but a smart TV.
Yeah.
Second, they didn't want a comfortable bed. They just wanted a king-size bed. They didn't mention comfort. They said it's got to be big.
So important.
Attractions nearby and a restaurant in the building rounded out the top five things we need in our perfect hotel on vacation. So Wi-Fi first, Tech to You Tuesdays at 11 a.m. with Ian from Tech to You on Rad TV, members.radradio.com, and in Sacramento on 104.7 FM and 890 a.m. You can also listen to it on the Rad Radio app. All the same things for the Mixed Pick Sports Show, which airs at 10 a.m. Dawn's husband Gary is joining.
Hey, Gary!
Steve Mickelson and I. Ian will go over using AI to verify age verification. So if you want to buy alcohol, don't need a license. We'll just scan your face. Talk about passwords. And he will go over this story. Federal authorities have warned of rising scams disproportionately targeting older Americans. Yes, they're rising. We've always talked about them on this show, but they're getting more and more and more. Elder fraud complaints rose by almost 20% last year. The average victim lost almost $34,000.
Oh.
According to an FBI report released last week, 16 individuals were charged in connection with what's being called the grandparent scam. This is what Ian will focus on, where they exploit voice cloning technology and go after the elderly. Brandon, I'm sorry if I'm misremembering, but it seems to me like, was it your grandmother thought you were trapped in a Mexican prison or something?
Yes.
How close am I?
Pretty damn close. She got a call from somebody claiming that I had been incarcerated in Mexico and that they needed money for me to get out. And so she called me back after she got the call. Are you in Mexico? Are you okay? And I had to tell her, no, I'm fine. I'm shopping for clothes. Just got done with my dentist appointment. Everything's fine.
So smart grandma that she called you.
Yes.
Rather than just giving into it. Now, take an elderly person who right away they're susceptible to one of my kids or grandkids is in trouble. And let's make it different than it's just a person saying this. With AI, we can make it sound like Brandon is calling or Brandon's on the phone.
Yeah, see?
Scammers that have been arrested would use voice over internet protocol phone services to mask the origin of their calls, make it look like they were coming from wherever they wanted to in the United States. A group of openers, they were called, would dial victims from the call center and tell them that their loved one was in distress. Victims were told that a relative was arrested, for example, following a car accident or needed money for bail. And in some cases, they would have audio that would sound, if they were really into it, they could get audio from the AI to make Brandon's voice like, help me, Grandma, that kind of thing.
Prison in Mexico.
Which we've heard these stories, right? Remember the mom who got a call from her daughter? Mom, help me. She calls her husband because that's where the kid is, or ex-husband, I forget which. But the daughter is supposed to be home with the guy, the dad. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm looking at her right now. And she's like, oh, my God. She almost was scammed out of like $50,000. This
Thank
is happening.
God she made that call.
And then they had also closers, this scam that's been going on for like years, who would impersonate defense attorneys, police officers, other court officials. We've heard things like that. The average scam on the grandparent, just under $34,000.
Oh, so sad.
Dollars. So Ian will cover that as well on Tech to You Tuesday this morning at 11 a.m.
And it's honestly, absolutely, that is so important to cover. The next step, though, is getting them to believe you. Sometimes they can't comprehend that people are doing this. And when you tell them how they're doing it, almost sounds like a sci-fi movie for them, that they can't believe that technology exists. That's a whole other topic and thing. Mm-hmm. Great to have that info. How do you get them to believe it and listen to you?
Next up, in our little version of our Tech to You pile, not nearly as interesting as Ian's when he does Tech to You Tuesday, Emojis have been commonly used for about 10 years. So if you're in your mid-30s or older, right here. There was a time when you refused to use them, right here. And that didn't last, right here.
Yep.
They were for women only. They were for the idiots. No, I'm English language. Okay, fine. Crying emoji face, whatever.
Love emojis.
So that's the setup to keep an open mind about this, the next phenomenon that is already making its way. The technology exists, and it'll be available to all of us schlubs soon. How about audible emojis?
Okay.
Google has started rolling out the audio emoji to the Google Phone app users, which means everybody will have it soon enough. So, for example, you're doing a video call. You're already, whether it's FaceTime, Zoom, whatever, you already have access to your phone screen. And you'd select it like you do when you're texting. You're on an audio call. You'd have to bring the phone. Now, depending on how you're doing it, right? If you're on Zoom and you got it propped up, you wouldn't have to remove the phone from you. You can just type onto your phone while the camera's on. If you're actually talking like old school, you got the phone up to your ear for whatever reason, you might have to bring the phone down either way. It's not on video. In that second example, it's just an audio call. You'd grab the phone and it's on speaker or whatever. And then you could go to your Audible emoji page. And they have 6 right now on the Google Phone app. There's the clapping. Okay, like, good. Just out of nowhere. The other person makes a great point, you play a sound of a bunch of people clapping. Whoa, what's that? You got a bunch of people? There's a brief audio effect of people laughing, by people clapping. Then there is a laughing one. Okay. There's a party atmosphere emoji.
Party on, Wayne.
Oh, gosh.
There's a crying emoji.
Yeah, what do they sound like?
Is that a baby crying?
There is the classic post joke badum tiss, right? The rim shot, right?
Okay, perfect.
And yes, if you press the poop emoji, you get a
yes. Oh, most used.
It's unclear when it'll make its way to Apple and other apps.
So they're basically turning every one of us schlubs, as Rob so eloquently put it, into like a radio wacky DJ sound effects machine.
Exactly.
Like we're just inserting our own wacky DJ sound effects.
Yes. Again, instead of communicating.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, that's a good point, you play, yes. Just clap.
And now you're getting even more disconnected because you might hear every other word because all you're trying to do is figure out which one am I going to play next.
Right. Can you imagine? I mean, the whole phone call, various sound effects. Right.
Excuse me.
And you're like, I'm sharing with you that my dad's in the hospital. What the hell?
What'd you say?
The numbers for this quarter are going
over. Your dad needs pills? What? What was that about the first quarter? I can't hear!
The numbers are looking good!
Okay. Well, pour a drink then. Oh no.
What? Can you repeat that?
Tell you, I was thinking about you, and Mother's Day's coming up. And
What? All right, okay, you get the idea.
How is that one?
Stop it!
Jesus. My favorite moments on the show when you do the runaway sound effect bit. It's just my favorite.
That was only page one.
Oh.
Right, okay.
Hello?
We're not really here.
Yo. We're not here. Hey, my teacher's here.
Why is the phone ringing when I'm on the phone?
Charge!
Jesus. Can you imagine trying to have a phone call like this?
Your test results are in.
What? What'd you say?
Your test results are in.
Who is this?
You're having a baby.
Oh, right.
We're calling to collect the debt.
We've been trying to reach you about your car's auto policy.
Last item in the tech file. There's a new question that's gone, super viral. That's a new term. It's the man versus bear question that's been on social media this week. What it is mainly is it's people that it has a million different videos if you search for it on TikTok, at least as of yesterday. People that'll go out and they're just asking women, like on the, you know, man on the street thing. One guy, he only asks like eight of them, just really quick. Hey, excuse me, would you answer a question real quick? And it's like, all right, here's a question. Would you rather be alone in the woods with a bear or a man you don't know? And it's gone viral because the overwhelming majority of women are saying they'd rather be alone in the woods with a bear. Mm-hmm. And so it's leading to endless conversations about how unsafe or women feel around men in general, blah, 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 make it all serious, et cetera.
What a dumb answer.
I'm sure there's a place for all of that.
Well, they can also show the other side of maybe they don't know how scary bears are in the wild.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, I would... like if bears were domesticated because they're so damn cute, but they're not. And they look really cute, but I know they're scary. And I don't know what to do or not to do. I always get confused. So I'll take my chances with a man I don't know.
Well, that's the pathetic part about
God,
this.
Is a bear?
Women don't realize that they can take a dude. I mean, dudes are a lot easier to take than a bear.
Yes.
There's some dumbass reality show that was on recently. My wife was watching, and they asked people on the show the question, would you rather be attacked by or have to fight off, I guess it was, 500 chickens or one bear?
Oh, Jesus.
And it was like,
the chickens.
Oh, God, no. Oh, no. No. What? In fact, that was the funny thing. My wife and I right away would say, oh, the bear, because the chickens are so brutal. And there were like four of the contestants are all, they grew up on farms. And they're like, everybody that said a bear has never grown up on a farm because the 500 chickens will kill you. They'll peck you to death.
But I'd rather fight the chickens.
Nah, yeah. No chance against 500 of them.
I haven't been around that many chickens. The most chickens we ever had was 30.
Yeah, imagine
right?
that.
And let me tell you, my problem was never the chickens, you see, because we were not real. We would have hobby farmers is what we would have been called, right? We're not actually like true farmers. 30 chickens, and I was most afraid of the roosters. Those were the jerks. If you would have said 30 roosters, hail to the no, I'll take the bear.
Well, they didn't delineate. I mean, roosters are chickens. They're all part of the whole thing.
When you say chicken, I do delineate because a rooster is a chicken, is laying eggs. They're a hen. That's how I'm taking it.
Well, overthinking it.
If it's rooster, hell to the no, to the no, to the no, I would take the bear.
I would. I don't want to go near the chickens or the roosters when there's 500 of them. So to me, it was an obvious answer, and it was to the ranching people on the show, not to Dawn so much, whatever, bad example on my part.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm just curious, because I know, like, my father-in-law, they were chicken farmers, and they had thousands. And he was, I don't know, he doesn't have any scary stories, but that doesn't discredit what they're saying. So I wonder if they really were meaning roosters.
Well, then you know what? Because, this just proves why people would justify they'd rather be around a bear than a man. Because apparently there's an argument to be made for some reason. I don't know.
Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob.
Anybody.
And Dawn Show.